part of the chanting Hare Krishna. This point is that Hare Krishna and Ram, these three words, names of the Lord, are the sweetest names of God. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes this in Krishna Samhita. So there's so many names of God, but Hare, Krishna, and Ram, these are the sweetest. The Maha Mantra contains the topmost sweet names of the Lord. Provocation for all rasas mixed with attachment is found in the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So this is what's being said there. I'll finish the whole thing. There is no mention of the Lord's prowess, Aishwarya, or giving liberation, Mukti. This Maha Mantra reveals only that the soul has an individual attraction for the Supersoul by the thread of love. These names, Hare, Krishna, and Ram, are the mantra for those on the path of Madhurya Ras. Constantly chanting and meditating on these names is the best form of worshipping the Supreme Lord. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Krishna Samhita, he's giving a very profound statement here about this mantra that every rickshaw wala, every little girl knows. They know of the mantra, but they don't know about all this. Provocation for all the rasas. This means that whatever particular sthayi bhav that jiva may have, whether it's dasya bhav or sakya bhav, and the sthayi rati, sakya rati or vatsali rati or madhuri rati, that can be awoken, can be inspired by the chanting of Hare Krishna. Plus intimate attachment. So that attachment, intimate attachment, that means the sakti and prema. This mantra, that's why he's saying this is the Maha Mantra. And this mantra, there's no mention of God's Aishwarya, or giving liberation. And we say Vasudev, means that God is all-pervading, He lives everywhere. Vasudev, the God that lives everywhere. So that indicates, that's a Vishnu Nam in general. And there's different names that indicate the power of God, Jagannath, Jagadishvara, Adikarta, Ishvara itself. But these names, Krishna and Hare and Rama, which indicates Radharaman, they're only indicating that sweetness. And this mantra reveals that only that a soul has an individual attraction for the super soul by the thread of love. It's a very beautiful phrase. I don't know, that's the translation in English. I suppose the Bengali is much more attractive. He said, each soul, each one of us, we have our own individual attraction. There's a God for each one of us. Just like in the rasa dance, each gopi had her own Krishna. And when the coward boys sit to have prasadam with Krishna, each coward boy has his own Krishna. There's not one Krishna, there's thousands of Krishnas, one for each boy. And this is so there's no problem in this world of Krishna consciousness. In the material world, if one guy gets one beautiful girl, then all the other guys are upset. Because he's the lucky one that got the beautiful girl and the other guys lost out. So, but in this case, everybody gets a beautiful girl, everybody gets a beautiful man. Like someone might say, well, there's thousands and thousands and millions of mandris, and there's only one Radharani. How will I ever get a chance to massage Radharani's feet? Because we hear from Milap Kusamanjali that the mandris, they sometimes massage Radharani's feet when she's resting in kunj or falling asleep, or help her fall asleep after a rasa dance, relieve her fatigue of her tired feet. Her feet must be tired from dancing and spinning all around the banks of the Yamuna. Because you know yourself when you walk around Govardhan, or 22 kilometers, you would really like to have somebody massage your feet. So you just become a guru and you get somebody to massage your feet. Of course, that's, you have to pay a big price for that massage. Cost you a lot of hardship. It's better to pay the barber 5 rupees. Pay the barber 5 rupees and they'll massage your feet. And there's no, you don't get any reaction. And if he's a Brijvasi, you get to be touched by a Brijvasi, so you get purified along with the touch. Because if a Vaishnava touches us, we become purified. Or if we touch a Vaishnava, we become purified. So the barbers in Navadvip Mandal and the barbers in Braj Mandal, they are all Vaishnavas. They're all devotees. And so if you contact them, then we can get some spiritual sukriti. So that question is there. There's millions of mandris. There's only one Radharani, so how will we, what's going to happen? We get a number when we get up there. Welcome to Boma Vrindavan. You came to serve Radharani. Yes, let me write your name in the book here. Yes, so-and-so. Adi Sundari Manjari. Acha, you will get to do your Chamara Seva in 14 years. Just be relaxed over here and just meditate on the Leelas. And you say, wow, because there's so many mandris, you have to get in line, and you came late. So a long, long line is there. 500 years worth of line. This Mandri Bhav Sadhana is being broadcast in this world since the last 500 years. Since Mahaprabhu introduced this never before introduced way of worshipping and loving Krishna. So we have to, there's 500 years of mandris ahead of us. It's a long line. But it's not like that. That actually there's unlimited expansions of Radharani. For each Guru Varg, there's another Radharani. So that whatever line of gurus you're in, you'll have access, intimate access to Radharani and Krishna. And you won't know about all the other Guru Vargs. Because the Nimbarkis, all the Nimbarkis, they also are worshipping Radha and Krishna. So we might think, oh, actually this month, Radha and Krishna have been kidnapped by the Nimbarkis. So no Gaudiyas will be able to worship Radha and Krishna this month. Next month, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas get a chance to worship Radha and Krishna and Mandri Bhav. But this month is Nayaka Bhav, it's Sakhi Bhav. So all the Nimbarkis, it's their choice. So you can all spend your time picking fruits, making garlands, and swimming in Yamuna and Pavan Sarovar and Radhakund. And then next month, it'd be your team plays. And then, no, there's also, they have their parakosta, they have their compartment. Parakostami, they have their compartment in the spiritual world where the Nimbarkis are serving with their acharyas. Their acharyas coming from Nimbark and others, Sri Sampradaya. So, therefore, this mantra, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, from his viewpoint, he's saying that. This mantra, what is this mantra? This is the mantra for those that are on the path of Madhurya Ras. Madhurya Ras. Madhurya Ras in Gaudiya Vaishnavism means, of course, the conjugal seva of Radha and Krishna Yugal in the mood of a protected maidservant, Pali Dasi Bhav. Pali means protected, Dasi means maidservant or servant, female servant. So their aspiration is to serve the lotus feet of Radharani. As Krishna says, anyone who claims to be my devotee, I do not accept him as my devotee. But someone who claims to be a devotee of my devotee, then I'm very much impressed and very much satisfied. So we're trying to become devoted to the greatest devotee and the servants of the greatest devotee and the servants of the servants of the greatest devotee and the servants of the servants of the servants of the greatest devotees. We're trying to become devoted to them. Prabhupada is a servant of Nayanamani Manjari. Bhakti Sananda Saraswati's Mandri Srup is Nayanamani. Jewel eyes. Oh, jewel eyes. Jewel eyes. Eyes like jewels. Nayanamani. So this is a name for Radharani. So this Mandri is serving that sweet Radharani who has eyes like emeralds. Not emeralds, let's say, sapphires, like Krishna color eyes. Because Krishna is the apple of her eye. Krishna is in the eyes of Radharani, in the heart of Radharani, in the hair of Radharani. I heard one of our acharyas was writing that Radharani is always thinking of Krishna. Krishna, 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 hey. So therefore, Radharani's name is Krishna Mayi. Mayi means saturated with, full of, made of, compacted. So Radharani is saturated with, full of, and compacted with Sri Krishna. Because she's always thinking of unlimited ways and very, very extended ways, she's thinking of unlimited ways to serve Krishna and in very extended ways and also some very crooked ways. She's thinking of serving Krishna in very crooked ways. So therefore, all these thoughts, they gather together inside of her head, and they come out of her head as her long, curly hair. It's long because it's unlimited, it's very thick hair because she has so many thoughts for serving Krishna. And it's very long because she has ideas for extended service. And it's wavy and crooked because she has some ideas for some naughty service or some crooked service against the norms of society and against the norms of the family, against her so-called husband and mother-in-law. So there's some crooked dealings. So therefore, there's no, Radharani can't have this kind of Japanese style straight hair. You ever see Japs? You know, Japanese ladies, the hair comes out. It just goes straight. Not a wave in it. It's very straight, and Japs are also very straight. They're very predictable, Japanese people. They're very mechanical, actually. Unlike Russians, I can't figure out what they're all about. They're unpredictable. So this is Radharani. So that's why her hair is black, because she's always thinking of Krishna. It's jet black, Krishna black, Shamrang. And her eyes, she's always seeing Krishna everywhere and looking everywhere for Krishna. So what other color can her eyes be but blue? It can't be any other color. And what color cloth does she wear?
Blue.
Blue, Krishna blue. Because she wants to see Krishna everywhere, inside and outside, around her, front side, back side. When she looks up, she sees this blue going over. She wears this veil over her head, and she looks up, she sees this blue of Krishna. When she looks to the side, she sees this blue. When she looks down, she sees blue. Everywhere she looks, she sees blue. She looks inside her heart, she sees Krishna, blue, Shamsundar, Ghanasham. Ghanasham means condensed blueness. Gana means condensed, thick, concentrated. Concentrated ras, Ghanasham. Let me say Ghanagatvam. Ghanagatvam means he has a characteristic. Ghanagatvam means a characteristic of a rain cloud. Gana is a Sanskrit poetic way of describing a rain cloud. Because a rain cloud is a cloud not full of air, but full of rain, water. So it's thick and compacted with water. Make sure the door is closed, because there's a little draft and all the cold air goes up. Cold air rises, and it goes away. So this is the mantra for those on the path of Madhuri Ras. Constantly chanting and meditating on these names is the best form of worshipping the Supreme Lord. So here we're describing how these three words of the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna Ram, are the sweetest names of God. They're sweet, sweet, sweet. Can't be beat. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's saying that, he has such a poetic way. I don't know what it's like in Bengali, but whoever does the English translation, in this case, Bhumipati, our Guru Bhai, Bhumipati. Certainly, it's attracting. He says, for the benefit of those that came just now, this Maha Mantra reveals, it reveals only, this is the only thing it does, it reveals only that a soul has an individual attraction for the super soul by the thread of love. We say that Krishna is all attractive. So this mantra attracts us to the Super Soul, because he's the nearest representation of Krishna, Chaitya Guru. He's the one that answered our prayers to bring us to the Bahir Guru, either Vartman Pradarshya Guru or Diksha Guru, Shiksha Guru. This is Chaitya Guru. He started our life. Chaitya means Chaitana. Chaitya means life, living, conscious action. So the Chaitya Guru, he's the ever-living and ever-present Guru. So when he hears and sees that we're interested in living a spiritual life, then he sends us to the representative. So then he says, these names are the mantra for those on the path of Madhurya Ras. So this is it. This is the mantra. There's no other mantras. We may get additional mantras, which will increase our absorption in name and increase our perception of name. But ultimately, the Ma mantra, this is everything. And if it's backed by mercy of Vaishnavas, and backed by Sambandha Gyan, and backed by submission and dedication, then all these great glories that we're hearing about can be ours, can be attained by us. So chanting Hare Krishna never stops. I mean, technically. For some of us, it's kind of start and go. Stop, what do you say? Stop and go. It starts and then it stops. But you should understand this entry here is that because in other yoga systems, all other things, practically everything besides bhakti, it retires here. You get whatever you want from performing your yajna or your home in Karmakanda. Once you get what you want, you don't do the yajna anymore. That's like a virgin girl wants a good husband in a village of India, so she is enjoined to worship Shiva, Ashutosh. She's easily pleased. So she goes every Monday, she fasts half a day. She goes every day to worship Shiva, but on Monday she fasts half a day for Shiva, and she worships him every day. And then finally, if it's her destiny and her fortune, whatever, she's blessed with a husband to her satisfaction. And then she doesn't worship Shiva anymore. She got what she wanted, and that's it. So you do the yajna. So we do some big yajnas or big pujas, or we do some meditation on Vedanta Sutra, Tattvamasi, Sarvakalvidam Brahma, Aham Brahmasmi, Janmadyasya Yataha. We meditate on the various sutras of Vedanta. Then finally we realize that Namo Narayan, I'm Narayan, I am Brahman. And then there's no more studying of Vedanta. You don't pack up the books, pass it on to your students, sell it out, as your Brahman realized. So all these things, or you do something in this planet, then you get to the heavenly planets in Swarga, then you enjoy. There's no more puja there. There's no more yajna or homa there. You just enjoy. So it's do it here, and then that's it. Karam, yoga, gyan, everything. But bhakti is, as we said, it's always said in Nectar Devotion, bhakti is eternal. Bhakti is not from this side of the Paravyam. This bhakti is not from the causal ocean. It's not a material process. All the other processes, karma, gyan, yoga, etc., they're all just material. They're all material processes. So therefore, the chanting of the holy name it's going on eternally. Whether one is in Krishna Loka or in the material world, chanting Krishna's holy name is the eternal function of the soul. In the material world, chanting Hare Krishna is the primary activity for purification and spiritual elevation. Everything else is auxiliary or supportive of the main service of chanting Hare Krishna. Upon entering the spiritual world, however, chanting the holy name will be in the background, helping and energizing. Serving Radha Govinda will be in the foreground, distinct and most important. For example, when the gopis churn fresh yogurt or Krishna's butter, they simultaneously sing his glories while keeping time with their bangles and waist belts. That's their kirtan, sankirtan. So their primary service there is churning, making butter. or Makanchur, for Krishna to come and steal or to enjoy. And then back behind that is a chanting. But here our primary service is chanting. And behind that is everything else we do. Deity worship, cooking, cleaning, washing, whatever we do, puja. Everything is, I said that already, but everything is, this is the background. But there, they may not chant. They may just chant. They may just churn yogurt without chanting. And that's enough. But they don't feel like it. Maybe they just feel like meditating on the previous night's pastimes, or maybe some other mandri who already churned, or rather gopi, or maybe mandri, but some other gopi churned her yogurt. She finished already, and then she's sitting down next to that gopi, and she's telling some nice lila. And so the one who's churning yogurt, she's listening, shravanam. So she's not chanting any kirtan at that time. So, in the material world, so Hare Krishna, this is explaining how Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, it's going on, never stops. And this is how it's examples of chanting Hare Krishna in the spiritual world. In the material world, both neophyte sadhaks and realized shuddha bhaktas chant the holy name. Dutiful beginners chant Hare Krishna as a sadhana for purification, whereas adepts relish the sweetest nectar in the holy name. Chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the eternal activity of every soul. Therefore, it is good to cultivate attachment and affection for one's eternal companion, Krishna's holy names. It's along the lines of our earlier discussion about our first introduction to Krishna is his holy name. We meet God in his holy name because he is his holy name. There's no difference. But we should make friends with the Maha Mantra. and always look to see, oh, where am I and where's the Maha Mantra? Oh, the Maha Mantra is hanging on the wall inside my bead bag. But the Maha Mantra is not hanging on my ears. Like we hang earrings on our ears, and wherever we go all day, the earrings are hanging and jingling or whatever, dangling. And they're with us until we take them off. So they're an inseparable part of our decoration for some lady, or maybe wristwatch for a man or whatever. So this should be our... Krishna's name should be always just there. We finish one... Whatever we finish, we're doing something. Then as soon as we finish that, then again the holy name. It's almost like they have these endless loops that are repeating the Maha Mantra. And Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, like this. And then someone calls on the phone, then you turn that down, for example, because you want to talk on the phone. And then they don't hear that chanting. And as soon as they get off the phone, you turn on again. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So this is the devotee. We should be on and off like this. In other words, when you're speaking to the person in the shop trying to buy something, you may have to stop chanting long enough to tell me about 1 kilo or 2 kilos. Of course, when you're doing Maun Vrata, you can also communicate and keep chanting. Especially in Vrindavan, because the Sabjiwalas and the Fruitwalas are quite used to Maun Vrata, monis. So you come up, they even have a whole thing. It's like, I forget, they go like, this is 1 kilo, then this is half, this means half or something. Like you go one, you go two, because usually you're getting 1 kilo, half kilo, or 2 kilos. It's not too much complicated communication. So when you go to the fruit wall or vegetable wall, even in the main market in Noi Bazaar, in the backside sabji market there, you know, you go like this, and then you go like this means 2.5. Two, and you go, it was 2.5, and you say like that to confirm it, or you go one, or if you just go like that, it means half, you know, something like this. I forget. There's a whole, and they all use the same symbols like sign language. So this is. It's told here that is our best friend. Harinam goes on in the spiritual world as well, among Krishna's eternal associates. The scriptures narrate many pastimes of Krishna and his devotees chanting the holy names. Krishna said to Uddhav, this is from Uddhav Sandesh, this one book written by Rupa Goswami. Mother Yashoda, Krishna told Uddhav, Mother Yashoda is always singing my names in a deep mood of separation. As she takes long, slow breaths, the sound, Ha Krishna, Ha Krishna, comes from her throat. Profuse perspiration soaks her weary body, and tears gush from her eyes, soaking her clothes, as she stares intently at the road to Mathura, waiting for my return. So it's amazing that Krishna knows all these things, but yet he doesn't come back. He seems so cruel. He has eyewitness news. He has cameras over there in the trees, remote control cameras, and he's watching Mother Yashoda's down, not on the top of the mountain in the Nanda Bhavan in the palace. She's down in the bottom of the mountain at the roadway, at the Mathura Road, Nandagaon Mathura Road, and she's standing there, looking towards Mathura and crying and crying, crying, Ha Krishna, Ha Krishna, Ha Krishna. So this is even Krishna's associates are on the brink of devastation, chanting in separation. This is some Ujjala Nilamani, also by Srila Rupa Goswami. One Sakhi told Krishna, O Krishna, when you are out tending the cows in the pasture, Radharani spends her day longing to see you again, fixing her eyes on the path where you will return with the cows. She engages her tongue in repeating two syllables, Krishna, 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 Krishna. Radhika's ears yearn to hear the sound of your flute, and her heart is fixed in happiness, fixed in the happiness of thinking of you. So we were hearing about in Radha Sudanidhi about the Varna Dvaya, the two syllables Radha, and how they have so much effect on Krishna. And he loses everything, all his composure. So now we're hearing about the two syllables Krishna, and how they affect Radharani, and how she's chanting this name, Krishna. And of course, when Mahaprabhu came, Krishna came as Mahaprabhu to experience Radharani's bhav, this was primarily the two syllables he was chanting everywhere, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Another entry from Ujjala Nilamani. Hey, Kundavali, said Krishna, when I accidentally said the word Radha, Chandravali became tortured with pain, as if violently wounded at heart. However, in order to pacify my embarrassment and bewilderment, Chandravali doubled the smile on her lotus face and spoke words filled with sweetness. This is called Dakshin Prakar, submissive. Chandravali is very submissive to Krishna. Her basic mood is that, what is her mood? That,
I am yours.
I am yours. I belong. It's called Twadiya Bhav. I am yours. And Madhya Bhav means you are mine. She has Twadiya Bhav. I am yours. So Chandravali is thinking, you can call me anything as long as you're with me. Call me Radha, call me Lalita, call me Vishaka. Or just stay with me, be with me, stay in my Gauri Tirth and my Gauri Kund. And so even though she practically faints when she hears the name Radha, somehow she collects herself and maintains her equilibrium and manages to smile, double the smile on her face, and speak words with sweetness. And of course, if Krishna even indicates anything faintly to do with the moon, Radharani immediately exhibits the state of man, which is deep opposition, very deep opposition, hoitaki man or hoitaki. And there's pastimes, so many pastimes there. And Barsana and Mankutir, once they were meeting there on the mountaintop, Mangar, and the full was Purnima, it was Shravan Mas, Shravan Purnima. And beautiful full moon was rising over in Barsana, and looking so beautiful. And then Krishna was sitting with Radharani on a rock, on one rock, on top of Mangar, gazing at the stars and speaking sweet, small things that people speak like at the times like that. Meaningless. love nothings. Love nothings or whatever they are. And flattering each other or whatever. And then Krishna, he went like this. He pointed to the moon. He said, "Oh." And then he touched Radharani's chin. He touched her chin. She said, "Radharani, your face is as beautiful as the moon, Chandramukhi." As soon as Krishna said, "Chandramukhi," she went, took his hand like this, and on his, got up and started to walk away. And he said, "Uh-oh, I made a mistake with that one. Chandramukhi. Mukhi, your face is like the moon, as beautiful as the moon." It was a faux pas, a big mistake. So he had to pay dearly for that one. He had to submit all of his cherished possessions at the feet of Swamini, his pagri, his silk turban, his moor, his peacock feather that was personally given to him by Sridham that very afternoon. And then he had to give his vamshi. It was made by one of the bringis. What do they call it? The Pulindas. One of the Pulinda women had made this fresh, brand new vamshi. He was just getting used to playing it. And he had to submit it at Radharani's feet. And even then, what did she, when he put the vamshi at Radharani's feet, what did she do? Tong! She kicked it, and it went flying off the mountaintop. Krishna said, "All right, that's my brand new vamshi." And then some other sakis were like, "What is that, a two-piece piece of bamboo? What's the big deal? Why are you so attached? You should be detached. You should be Krishna conscious. Don't you know when you chant Hare Krishna, you get knowledge and detachment? Dhyana and vairagya. You should do bhakti." Brindadevi said to Purnamasi, "Radharani gave a farewell embrace to a budding jasmine creeper she had planted on the Yamuna's shore. She placed the farewell gift of her beautiful diamond necklace in Lalita's hand. Radhika then entered a kadamba grove filled with buzzing sounds of bees, and then fainted. But she was reawakened by her Priya Sakis chanting the name of Hari. Hari, 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 Hari." So Hari came and stole her out of her stupor. Because Hari means thief. He took her away. That name took Radharani away from her stupor, or her paralysis, or pralaya, fainting and separation from Krishna. So just the name of Krishna invoked the form of Krishna in her heart, and she reawakened. The wonderful sacred mantra Krishna chants is the name of his dearmost Radharani. Srimati Radharani's Maha Mantra is the name of Lord Krishna. Radha Krishna, Ganadesh and Deepika. This is being revealed by Srila Rupa Manjari, Srila Rupa Goswami. So, this is the sacred mantra, Krishna's guru mantra. Because his guru, his praying guru, is Radharani. So he does. That's the mantra. That's his secret mantra, Radharani. Radhe, Radhe, Radha, Radha. And then Radharani, what is her maha mantra? Krishna. Ignam, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Hey! So this is something about the identity of the holy name, and how this holy name is the best form of devotion. Even if we are practicing the five limbs of bhakti, living in the holy Dhamma Vrindavan, Radhakun, Ramanreti, still what's packed in all of those five practices is basically the root of them all, the mool, Panchanga Bhakti mool, the mool of Panchanga Bhakti is the holy name of Krishna, the Maha Mantra. And then we heard that this is the sweetest name and how we get purified. And then this chapter, in one sense, is a continuation. This is chapter 2. I mean, it's amazing to think, when you think about it, that we're here in this world in our conditioned state of existence, aspiring for love of God. And then in the spiritual world, Radharani herself and Krishna, they're also chanting, they're also performing Nam Sankirtan. Just like Mahaprabhu, he's also performing Nam Sankirtan in a grand way, in a big way. That's the main Leela. Through the Nam Sankirtan, they enter all the Braja Leelas. And in Krishna Leela, they're in the Braja Leelas. And there's some Nam Sankirtan going on there also. And Radharani, we're sitting down, just imagine, we're sitting down chanting Hare Krishna, the name of Krishna. And Radharani's also sitting down chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna. And we're chanting Hare, which is Radharani's name. And Krishna's chanting Hare or Radhe or Radhe. So everyone's doing it. God's doing it, we're doing it, everyone's chanting Hare Krishna. As above, so below, they have this phrase. So this is the glories of the holy name. This is a small introduction. Of course, this again is further building on faith. Because if we have, because that this that sequence goes, it goes glories of the holy name, and then it gets into offenses. So the basic conception of the book is that if one deeply understands the Sambandha Gyan and glories of the holy name, then it'll be much less likely to commit offenses. This is the kind of logic of the presentation, because he'll be so much appreciative and grateful for this Maha Mantra that he has received or she has received, then they'll be very attentive to their chanting, and that chanting will purify them and purify their all the envy and other, basically envy, which causes us to make offenses. Ichadvesha smutena dvanda mohina bharata, this desire and hate are the two shackles of the jiva. So this introduction of this chapter, glories in the holy name, because lots of verses, there's lots of shlokas here in verses, and so why all these shlokas? One will strengthen his faith and determination to chant japa by repeatedly hearing the wonderful glories of the holy name and by studying different shlokas in praise of Nam Bhajan. Such practices are endorsed by the previous acharyas, such as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who said, chant the Nam Mahima, glories of the holy name. Practice that daily. I also do that. Hari Nam is our life. Whether chanted correctly or incorrectly, knowingly or unknowingly, carefully or carelessly, the all-powerful holy name of Krishna will always give results. The unlimited glories of the holy name cannot be understood with logic, reason, or intellect. Only by faith, devotion, and constant chanting can one realize the greatness of Sri Nam. In this dark age of Kali, Krishna Nam is the easiest, quickest, safest, and surest way to attain spiritual perfection in love of God. In the matter of self-realization, Nam Japa is, quote, the king of all sadhanas. And this is a kind of repetition of the other chapter we talked about, the Pavitra Krama, the sequence of purification, of how, what the effect of the holy name. Of course, these are discussed in Chaitanya and Shikshastakam also. Chanting Krishna's sweet names purifies the heart, sanctifies and steadies the mind, destroys the six enemies, your mother, your father, your mother-in-law, your temple commander, Sabjiwala, Rikshawala. No. Destroys the six enemies, lust, anger, greed, envy, illusion, and madness. Chanting Krishna's sweet name stops birth and death, dissolves sins, scorches samskaras, annihilates attachment, induces detachment, uproots desires, empowers one, makes one fearless, removes illusion, bestows supreme peace, delivers prema, reveals the Lord and His holy Dham, shows one's sarup, showers bhakti ras, and engages one in his nitya seva for the pleasure of Radha and Shyam. So this is from the low end to the high end. What the name does, from chanting Aparad Nam to Namabhas to Shuddha Nam, one will have all these different experiences. So this is explaining here. This point says that Nam reveals our Siddhadeha, spiritual form. This is what Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is explaining, that the experience of one's, means a direct experience, of one's internal spiritual form, Siddhadeha or Sarup, which is necessary for properly or practicing Raghunuga Bhakti, is revealed by the grace of Krishna's holy name. Generally, one realizes his spiritual form at the stage of Bhava Bhakti. At this stage of perfection, which precedes Prema Bhakti, Sri Krishna's Shuddha Sattva or Sarup Shakti, personal spiritual potency, is transmitted into the heart of the sadhak from the heart of one of Krishna's eternal associates. This in turn reveals the specific attributes of one's eternal spiritual form. By purely chanting the holy name, which is Shuddha Nam, one can realize his spiritual body. This is once a Grihastha follower of Gaurakishore Das Babaji asked for Siddha Pranali, which is initiation to Ekadasha Bhav, to understand that was a process, Siddha Pranali is actually the process to realize, but where the Guru gives the 11 symptoms of the Siddhadeya and the process to realize them, which is of course supported by Nam Bhajan along with meditation. So he asked for this, and Babaji replied, Babaji Maharaj, Gaurakishore Das Babaji said, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is a Siddha Mantra, which means perfect. Within this mantra are the Siddha Roop of the Supreme Lord Krishna and the Siddha Roops of all living entities, like Sarup. Sarup means your own form, your own perfect form. If you chant the Maha Mantra purely, the syllables of the Maha Mantra will gradually reveal the spiritual form, qualities, and pastimes of Sri Krishna. This chanting will also reveal your eternal spiritual form, service, and 11 particulars of your spiritual identity. So this is, of course, a big part of the presentation of ISKCON and Gaudiya Math in terms of realizing a Siddhadeya. They put much more emphasis on chanting Maha Mantra, Shuddha Nam. Although there's also a tradition where a qualified disciple can receive directly from his guru his Siddha Pranali, the 11 symptoms of his sarup. And that's the prerogative of the guru who is so situated, who can actually see the Siddhadeya, the spiritual form of the individual in the spiritual world, and reveal that out of his causeless mercy to a qualified disciple. At least he can give it to him. Now, how much the disciple realizes and reveals and realizes that gift depends on how much he surrenders to his guru and how much faith he has in his guru and the purity of the holy name, because the guru is connecting him with the parampara and connecting him with his spiritual energy. So how much he surrenders and how much he has faith, and then so this is another way by which one realizes his Siddhadeya. You can say Guru Kripa. There's more emphasis on Guru Kripa and faith in Guru. And then one may receive that great fortune, but then the question of revelation, realization, still is in the question. That each disciple has received such fortune, he has to realize. So therefore, he will also, the guru will tell him to keep chanting and try to chant purely and advise him how to chant purely. So either way, a large part of revelation of one's spiritual form depends on Shuddha Nam. So this is our line of gurus coming from Gorkishore and others. They emphasize Nam Bhajan, hearing and chanting and remembering. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains how Krishna's holy name awards one a spiritual body. Of course, he was associated with Gorkishore. Ishat Vikasi Puna Dekai Nija Rupagun Chittahari Loy Krishna Pash Purna Vikashita Hoya Braji Mora Jaya Loya Dekai Mora Sarup Vilas More Siradeha Diya Krishna Pashe Rake Giya Ede Hera Kore Sarvanash. Such is the power Krishna manifests that when his holy name starts to blossom, as he compares the holy name to a bud, a flower bud, it's closed, and then the holy name starts to blossom a little further, it then reveals his own divine form and qualities. Because we say within the holy name of Krishna, Bina Tvam Namanamino. Within the holy name is Krishna's form and qualities and pastimes, because the holy name is Krishna. And within Krishna, Krishna has form, transcendental form, and transcendental qualities, and transcendental activities, or lila. That's all in the holy name. So holy name will reveal, first, all this aspect of Krishna. Thus, the holy name will steal my heart and take it to Krishna's side. So he's explaining that when one is chanting, as one chants more and more purely, the holy name reveals Krishna. Firstly, Krishna. Krishna's form, then his qualities, then his pastimes. And then by having that experience of Krishna through the holy, through chanting the holy name, one will become very attracted, very much attracted to Krishna, and chanting his holy name, very much attached. When the flower of the holy name is fully blossomed, it takes me directly to Braj and reveals to me my own love dalliance, which Prem Vikashita Hoy means your Stai Ba, basically. So now the holy name gives revelation of Krishna, and then the holy name further purifies me, and I chant more and more purely. Then the holy name, which is Krishna, takes me to Vrindavan, and then once I enter Vrindavan, then I have to have the bhav, and on the basis of that bhav, stai bhav, or loving mood or mellow towards Krishna, I will be given a body. So first the holy name establishes my stai bhav, which is what he's saying here. I'm taken to Braj. The holy name will take me to Braj and reveal to me my own love dalliance. This name will award me my own eternal spiritual body, then keep me right by Krishna's side. And this holy name completely destroys everything related to this mortal frame of mind. It means this, the material body and mind will be destroyed. This is from Sharanagati in a particular song called Srinamahatmyam. Is there any questions or comments on this point? Yes.
I'm just thinking, in reading our belief and faith in our holy name, when the result is not linear,
it's not coming
specific in one way,
it's not tangible. We're engaged in some practice, we're doing something, we're investing our time and our energy and our feelings, and lots of time we're investing in chanting in the holy name, but we're not getting any return for our investments. We put $100 in the stock market and we go back the next day and said, so how much I made? Oh, you didn't make anything. That $100 is gone. What kind of investment was that? So we're investing our time. Are we only losing our time and losing our energy? So Krishna does this. He withholds results to increase the intensity of our japa. The faith is a basis. Faith is there. It's not that we can increase our faith so much, that faith grows slowly. But intensity can be manifested rather quickly. But faith develops slowly. So it's like this. I'll give you an example of how you can quickly manifest intensity to increase, turn up the fan, so to speak, to a higher speed. Turn up the intensity of chanting. Because when one is in this, what I think we could say, doldrums of chanting, and sails are down, and he's chanting, engines are going on, but progress is not being made. So then, Krishna's doing this because he wants us to increase our chanting. So how we respond to that doldrums is that, oh, Krishna, there's so much result can come from your holy name, so much benefits are in your holy name, but you're not giving me anything. What is this? What is this? Why are you giving me anything? My chanting is not good enough. It's not intense enough. It's not sincere enough. Okay, watch this. It's like a challenge. It's a silent challenge. He's challenging us. And he wants to see he's waiting for us to face the challenge. So then, it's not necessarily much increase in faith, but we can recognize, because something should be happening on a regular basis. It's not like homeopathic medicine. You take it for 6 months and nothing happens. Or maybe something happens, or you try to think something happened, or whatever. And maybe if you're lucky something happens, or if your faith is strong enough. The holy name really works, and it really has power. But my experience is that, because everyone has this experience where you get into this doldrums, is I really feel that, okay, Krishna, I have this kind of dialogue with the holy name. I've been chanting along, but I'm chanting for so many weeks or whatever, and it just seems I'm going along and nothing's happening. But I'm not satisfied. I really want something to happen. And he said, well, what do you want to happen? You know, I had this like imaginary dialogue or whatever. And I said, well, with this inner dialogue with the holy name, I get serious, it increases my intensity. Okay, Krishna, Hare Krishna. Then I start to see things happen. And often what happens, the first installment I see coming from Krishna is I get good association. When I increase the intensity of my japa, usually I get some good association. Some sannyasis come here, or somehow I get some good association. Not that like all this lust, anger, greed goes flying out of my brain or something like that. But this is the first thing I find, that my association improves when I get more intense in chanting. And then as an intensity is maintained, then you start to perceive other things happen also. That some passions that were rising up start to go back down or disappear or take a walk. And you again find a more peaceful state of mind within yourself. You get some reward from Krishna, some peacefulness, some buoyancy, some internal mental buoyancy. You feel like you're floating on high water. You know, above the, you know, like this. Anything else?
How important is a place for chanting? It's like, we see our acharyas in the Gaudiya line, like Srila Bhakti Mohan Thakur, at the end of his life, when he decided to move to Srinavidhan, and he wanted to, you know, do his bhajan out there.
On the end of his life, he was in Puri, in a bhakti kuti.
Yes.
But during his life, even when his active life, maybe you're not so clear on his biography, but during his active life, when he was district magistrate of Mathura, he built a house in Godrundweep.
Yes.
And then he established a railroad. He brought a railroad line from Krishnanagar to Godrundweep, because he had a lot of power, DM. So there wasn't any railroad line there before, but he brought the railroad, and it stops right in front of his house. And then a small gauge railroad, and he used to take the train every day to Krishnanagar. So there, in that place, during his Grihastha days, he established a soundproof room. You can see when you visit there in Godrundweep. Very heavy wooden door, because wood is actually very good insulation. It's a very tight-fitting door, very thick wood. It can be very soundproof. Like in the Gurukul rooms, in the ashram in Vrindavan, I remember staying upstairs and the doors were really quite thick, and as soon as you close the door, it really cuts out a tremendous amount of noise from the gurukul, all the kids screaming and yelling and stuff. But it's very, just a door, what to speak of the windows, if you have double window panes. So he had a room, a secluded room, but the only entrance was only a door. There was no windows in that room. It's in his house, in the bottom, the ground floor. So he built that to get away from the noise of the family. He had 14 children. So you can imagine 15 or 14 children. That's a lot of distraction. So he went into the soundproof room to chant his holy name. So it's not, it's rather not only in the end of his life, but even in the middle of his life. The last 4 years of his life, he shut himself up in the Bhakti Kuti, which is right next to Haridas Thakur's Samadhi, basically. It's across the street. Or it was across the street. You ever saw it? Did you ever see it? I saw it.
So what is their
role
that they want to go to Sri Lanka, even though they've been residing in the Lama?
What are you saying?
What is their mood?
Whose mood?
These acharyas who want to go and if the sadhya, if the goal is to be a part of the eternal pastimes of Sri Radha and Krishna and their Vrindavan, why do they...
Well, Radha and Krishna have two aspects of their pastimes. There's Audarya Leela and Madhurya Leela, like two sides of a coin. So for Gaudiya Vaishnavas, both sides of the coin are valuable. We want both sides of the coin. This Gaur Leela is Radha and Krishna and Audarya. And this Braj Leela is Radha and Krishna and Madhurya. So Audarya and Madhurya, one for itself and one expanding itself. So some Mahajans and some devotees, they stay in Gauradham and meditate on Gaur Leela and Braj Leela. And some Mahajans, they stay, or great devotees, they stay in Brajadham, they meditate on Gaur Leela and Brajalila. This is the situation. Some visit here and then go there. It's but wherever they are, whether there's Gaurakishore stayed here for 30 years and he went back to Navadvip, left his body there. So if they're there or they're here, they're meditating on both Leelas. Somehow many live here and die here, many live there and die there. So there's not one is better than the other. They're equal. And they're engaged in the same activity. They're all Gaudiya Vaishnavas in general and meditating in Gaur Leela and Krishna Leela. Even if they're in Puri. There's so many great Siddha Mahatmas living in Puri also. Because that's the place of Lord Chaitanya's Leela. But generally, the main thing is that generally, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas will live in one of the dhams, Jagannath Puri or Navadvip Mandal or Braj Mandal. This is the general thing. And if they can't live, they have to live outside physically, then mentally and heartfully they'll live in these Brajadham and Mayapur Dham.